This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. After an extra month of negotiation, state lawmakers inch closer to an agreement on the budget. The House and Senate released the $21 billion spending plan late last night. They made compromises on raises for teachers and the Medicaid budget. But the session is not quite over. Lawmakers still have to consider a Medicaid reform bill and changes to local sales taxes, as well as environmental protection regulations. Here to sort out what's happening in the final days of the General Assembly short session is WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jessica Jones. Welcome, Jessica.
Thanks, Phoebe.
So this budget deal started coming together on social media last weekend. Tell us about that.
We first heard news that there was a budget agreement on Saturday afternoon, and that's when leaders from both chambers sent out identical tweets saying that they had agreed on a basic framework for the budget and that it would be worked out this week. I should also point out that message came out after the New York Times printed a front-page article about the inability to reach consensus on the budget, and it kind of outlined the split between Senate leaders and the governor. And the day before, the governor had also said he would veto a budget that he didn't like. So things were, I think there was some tension there, and there were lots and lots of people who really wanted a budget to come together. Then in a press conference on Tuesday, leaders talked a little bit more about what to expect, but they really didn't release any documents, no charts, no graphs, no tables with numbers. There really was nothing to read until last night when the budget bill went online not long before midnight.
Well, of course, there was a lot of anticipation about getting this budget compromised, agreed upon. But this morning, Democratic Representative Larry Hall criticized how quickly Republican lawmakers wrote up the budget compromise. Let's hear about it.
This is the state of North Carolina, so the citizens deserve a right to read and respond. We have experts across the board in all the areas of the budget in some of the greatest learning institutions in the nation. They're shut out of the process. They can't help us. We haven't given them time.
What are the Democrats saying? What is the contention?
Well, they are saying, just like Larry Hall said, that there wasn't enough time for them to really take a look at things. As a minority party, they're really shut out. And, of course, this is the Republican-controlled legislature. The budget writers, almost everyone on those budget subcommittees is part of the majority party, with, I think, one exception. So Democrats really haven't had a chance, to be really involved at this point. And of course, they're protesting the fact that that it was rolled out pretty quickly, and they don't have a lot of chance to comment on it. But they are in the minority, and Republicans do have a supermajority. So it looks like things are going to go through at this point. And most likely, I think most of the provisions in the budget are not a surprise, and they've been approved by Republicans, and most of them will probably go through.
The two major sticking points between the House and Senate in this long, drawn-out compromise were raises for teachers and Medicaid spending. Senate Leader Phil Berger touted the raises for teacher pay earlier this week. Let's listen to what he had to say.
The $282 million invested in teacher pay with this budget will be the largest teacher pay increase in state history, moving North Carolina from 46th in the nation the 32nd in the nation and national teacher pay rankings.
How did the Senate and House work these two matters out?
They were pretty far apart in the beginning, Phoebe. In the Senate's original budget proposal, leaders wanted 11% raises for teachers, but they wanted to cut teacher assistance positions. On the other side, on the House, budget writers originally proposed raises of around 6%, average 6%, and they wanted to keep teacher assistants in the classroom. But in this final proposal in the budget bill that was released late last night, they settled on raises of an average of 7%. Percent for teachers. And leaders said that that was the number that they had settled on earlier in the week. And now I should also just point out that that does not mean that every single teacher will get a 7% raise. This plan would really bump teachers up who are on the lower end of the scale, newer teachers. But older teachers, teachers who have been on the job for much longer, won't see the gains that younger teachers will. And under this plan, also, teachers would lose something called longevity pay, which kicks in after a decade of service.
And there is a cap here which says that a teacher, there's a $50,000 cap after 25 years of service for teachers?
Yes, there are lots of different kind of gradations or grades in this plan. It's you know, some educators like it, others don't. I think actually the biggest issue really that many teachers are not as happy about is the lack of longevity pay. Because for a teacher, I believe a teacher who has just finished his or her 29th year of teaching and is going into his or her 30th year of teaching, that person would get something like a 1% raise, less than 1% raise. So under this new plan. So that's basically how it works.
This budget does not take into account any changes in how the Medicaid program is structured, but lawmakers have been debating a reform bill. Remind us what they were proposing on Medicaid, and where does that bill stand now?
There was a really big difference between Medicaid reform bills introduced in the House and the Senate. The House was pretty close to the governor's favored plan, and that's also the plan that is favored by Secretary of Health and Human Services Aldona Vosh. That would build on an existing network of Medicaid providers in the state that policy experts across the country look to as a model. And that's what doctors and hospitals say. That's the direction that doctors and hospitals would like the state to go in. Now, budget writers in the Senate who have expressed a lot of concerns about the cost that the state contributes toward helping to pay the costs of caring for Medicaid patients, they introduced a bill that would have allowed managed care companies to come in to care for Medicaid patients as a way of containing costs. And those managed care groups in that bill would be allowed to compete with provider-led plans. So those are hospitals and physician groups that treat Medicaid patients. That has been put on the back burner, and now leaders say that there will be a special session in November to deal with the issue. It's a huge issue. It's just too complicated. It just has been too complicated for the short session.
Another issue that has been talked about, the Senate is considering a cap on local sales taxes of 2.5%. Where does that bill stand?
That bill would have generally reduced the options for urban counties to raise taxes, but it would give more authority and flexibility to rural counties to levy taxes. And that bill passed in the Senate, but not in the House. So now it goes to a conference committee, and that's another issue that's been pushed back.
The House also passed a bill this week that eases some environmental regulations for stream buffers. What are stream buffers? What is this all about?
Well, when people talk about stream buffers, what they're really talking about is trying to preserve the banks of streams and rivers. And one of a very big cause to one way to lower water quality is to destroy the banks of a stream or a river, because all that, if you think about it, all that silt and all that dirt from the bank will go right into the river, and then there's much more potential for erosion, which can be very, very bad for water quality. Now, this bill that we're talking about was passed yesterday quite quickly, and I just want to say its sponsor in the Senate, Senator Andrew Brock, said that it came right from the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. And the ironic thing is that it actually decreases protections for streams and rivers in North Carolina. And to just explain a little bit, about a year ago, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources appointed a new committee that includes stakeholders who are representatives of various industries, including at least one
Jessica,
person.
Let me just stop you for one second and say that Jessica Jones is a Capital Bureau Chief for WUNC, and you are listening to The State of Things. Keep going.
So we were talking about this bill that eases some environmental regulations, and we were talking about the committee that has been appointed by Diener that includes stakeholders who are representatives of various industries. That committee was appointed about a year ago, and a very long-term committee that had worked for about 5 years to improve water quality. The water quality of North Carolina's streams and rivers, you know, was out. And that committee had decided to basically lower the amount of stream banks and river banks that developers and others who disturb waterways have to mitigate. And so basically the way it works is for every square foot that gets disturbed, developers have to remediate 3 feet. And that's a way of protecting the banks of streams and rivers. And when they erode, of course, as I said before, that is a big contributor to poor water quality. Now, if the governor signs that bill, that ratio is going to go down to 1 to 2. And in western North Carolina, people are especially upset about this because the trout fishing industry brings in $200 million a year, according to a state study. And people all over the state have worked to bring mountain trout back over the last 20 years. And the trout have come back largely because water quality standards have increased. The water has gotten better. So environmentalists and, you know, some sportsmen's associations have some real concerns about this bill.
Well, we'll wait and see. Quickly, when are lawmakers likely to take a final vote on the budget?
Well, it looks like the Senate is probably going to take both votes this afternoon, and then the last vote, I guess it's going to be by the House, is going to be probably early. It will be early in the morning on Saturday. Could be right after midnight, or they could decide to come back and vote in the morning.
And there is support from the governor?
There is support, as far as we know, from the governor.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jessica Jones is WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief. Just ahead, how have last year's cuts to unemployment benefits affected North Carolina's economy? You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.